We're going to read in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Let's go to the 4th verse. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him. Somebody say, called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou, read this phrase with me, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. If you've been coming here lately, attended a couple services recently, you'll know that we've been preaching on facing the test, understanding the kinds of things that we're tested in, the things that we need to learn to recognize that when we face something, that we don't need to focus on just what that thing is we're going through, but what it is that this thing is representing. For in that thing, God wants to give you strength. We brought out the test of faith. We brought out the test of love. We brought out the test of patience. Tonight, the Lord is bringing out something very peculiar, and it's fading away in this generation. So this is going to sound provocative to some of you who are younger Christians, but to some of you elders out here, this should be a refresher. This should not be new news. This should be something that you know and understand. Tonight, we're going to talk about the test of sacrifice. We encounter this part of the word. We see Abraham receiving the word from the Lord to take his son and to offer him unto God. If you know anything about this story, you know that his son was the thing that was most dear unto his life. To say to someone, take what is most dear to you and give it to me, is quite profound. To say, take what matters to you and bring it to me and give it up to me, is not what we want to hear. The enemy has us lying in a bed of indecision, lying in a bed of deception, having us to be drawn away by any kind of spirit that tries to come and draw us another direction. We have a lot of people that come to church but yet don't understand the purpose for their life. We have a lot of people that attend places, sanctuaries, but don't really feel the conviction of God to change the things in their lifestyle that they would grow in God. We have come complacent in our obedience in being effective in teaching what God wants us to learn how to fight against. There are things that God will bring you through and test you with, that until you learn to pass the test, it will be something you will encounter all the days of your life. It'll look like one thing today, and if you push it away and beg God to get you out of it, sometime down the road when you regain your strength, it's going to come back and pay you a visit once again. Why, oftentimes we want to ask, do we have to go through the same thing over and over and over and over again? But But oh, praise God for when we finally get victory. But it's hard to associate sometimes how we get the victory versus why we will not let go. And the Lord is bringing something out tonight that not only all these things that we preached on are important, but there's something about giving up what is most important to you so that God can see that you fear Him. There is something to be said about what you'll be willing to let go of so that when the hour comes that you stand in your weakness, that God will provide for you. We're looking for miracles and signs and wonders, but yet the things that God wants to do in here are often left undone. And by us leaving these things within us, by us doubting in an area where we should believe by faith, by us not trusting in God in an area that we should trust Him, when we stand in the hour that we need to be totally dependent on Him, the blessing that is provided by Him is withheld from us because we are not ready to receive what He is ready to provide. Because there must come a fear in the hearts of the children of God. Not a fear that would cause you to cower in the presence of God, but a fear that would cause you to think, if I don't give up these things that are important to me, unless God is first, then surely if I take these things on my own, I will not survive. There were people that tried to do this all throughout the chapters of the Bible, and you read of their failures, you read of the times they fall to their face and repent for what they would not let go of. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Saul that wanted the spoils of war. He wanted to keep the things that showed him as mighty, but what he had not realized yet, that his might was not in the riches of the spoils of war, but his might had came from God above. Glory to God. If you will realize tonight that though those things are important to you, they are not what makes you mighty. They are not what makes you strong. They are not what defines who you are. But God is what makes you strong. But God is what comes through in an hour that you think not. But God comes and gives you authority over the devil. There are tempting spirits, lustful spirits. There are spirits that are roaming this nation and is causing America to become a backsliding nation. Don't think that the entire world is corrupt. Don't think that it's everywhere that churches are struggling like this. There are places that it's easier to worship God where they can't even assemble together than it is to where you can do it openly because of all the spirits that are overtaking the hearts of the children of God. And I ask you tonight, the things that we hold on to, are they not still the same thing that causes us to be hindered when you are mad at somebody and you don't let go of your anger? It's the very thing that keeps you from the love of God. When you are sick in body and you refuse to believe by faith that God can take care of you, is it not that sickness that keeps you down? When we get discouraged in what we don't see, is it not the discouragement that keeps us from receiving? And ultimately, when we do not give up what is already the Lord's anyway, there's going to come a time of judgment on our lives, and the things that we hold dear, we'll lose them. Now, friend, I'm not talking about something I don't know. Everything that I held dear, I lost because I refused to listen to God and to give up all the things that I desired. So He took my desire for drugs and made it to where I couldn't enjoy it. He took my desire to go to school so that I wouldn't even be able to pass. And I got to rock bottom before the day finally came when I realized what made me mighty wasn't the things that I was chasing after in this world. What made me strong wasn't what I was driving around in or working hard to buy. The things that make me wonderful aren't the things I buy to put on me, but I realize that my help came
came from the Lord. And when he helped me, everything that I had lost, it didn't matter anymore. And I became a stranger to the things I once enjoyed. And God transformed my frame of mind. And he showed me, brother, if I can bring you out of the bottom, then anything else that you accumulate, just let me have it. And when you are in need, I'll take care of you. The kingdom of Egypt that you read about had 200 years of time where people in Israel had brought their sheep up into their land and devoured their grass. You follow me tonight. They did this for 200 years, and around the time they finally got fed up, they made the lamb an abominable animal. They did not like shepherds in Egypt. They had got tired of all of their grass being eaten, so they declared the lamb to be an abomination. So when Moses was given the charge to bring forth the lamb and offer it by God, they were not going to offer it in the land of Egypt, because he knew and told Pharaoh, are you crazy? We've got to go offer it where we will not be stoned. At one point, the one thing that brought them deliverance had to be the thing they had to put their trust in. The lamb which was once abominable to Egypt became the very deliverance for Israel. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you tonight? The things that you're willing to give up and walk away from is the very thing that'll give you deliverance. There were people in Egypt that never inherited the promise because they weren't willing to let go. When God said let go, he called out to Pharaoh time and time again to say, let go of my children. Let my children go. Let them go to where they can make offerings. Let them go to where they can be free. And when God is speaking to you, he's saying, let go of these things that hinder you. Discouragement has to go. Sickness has to go. Every hindrance of the enemy has to go. When he's pushing on you and you don't have me to preach to you, he's going to give you the encouragement if you're willing to lay off the thing that is hindering you. Abraham did not see the ram on the way up, but it was only revealed when he let go of what was the most dear. What I desire for my life, it has importance and it has priority, but it is not first. I desire to have friends. I desire to enjoy the company of my family, but I'm not putting that in front of God. Having a great social life can sometimes be your very damnation if you don't realize the very one that gives you the most acceptance, the most love, the most understanding, the most peace. What good does it do to have a million friends when you need one and you can't find one? What good does it do to surround yourself around the rich when you can't get anybody to break the bank when you get in need? What good does it do to surround yourself with people that talk about other people when you don't want to be talked about? What good does it do for us to hold on to things like this instead of letting God take control? Our very power in God is limited by our willingness to turn loose of what is holding us in bondage. There are places that they don't even know, hallelujah, that there is a praise on them that could bring them deliverance in the very hour. And I'm not talking to people that are ignorant or don't understand what I'm saying. There is a praise within you. Yeah, inside of you. Yeah, you, you, and you. There's a praise deep down in here that the Holy Ghost wants to come out in you and bring forth even greater. But until you're willing to let go of your pride, it cannot manifest. Until you're willing to let go of your doctrine, it cannot grow in you. Until you can let go of your ideals, it cannot grow greater out of your life. Until I let go of being afraid of the gifts of God, did I not receive them? Until I stopped wondering what it was going to sound like, how it was going to come out, if I was going to be embarrassed, until I let go of these fears, did I not receive the gifts of God? When I finally let go, I got God. When I finally put it all on the table, when I finally put it all down and said, God, take me and make me something that's worthy. God, I put it all on the table tonight. I'm not here just to be entertained. ordained. I'm not here just to go through the motions, but I'm growing up and I'm going out of here. And God's going to do great things out of this ministry because I'm going to let go. Every time the devil tries to tempt me, I'm going to let go of it. If it becomes too hard, I'm going to let go of it. Yeah, you might not have the many friends that you thought you needed, but you'll have a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. You'll have a comfort that nobody could duplicate. Not even the comfort of your mother could come as close as the love of God. Nothing could even compare to what God can do for you. I feel like preaching now. You better get with me or get out of my way. There's a time that's coming when I'm not going to be here to tell you to let it go. There's going to be a day when there's not going to be anybody around that you're going to have to decide that today is the day that I'm going to stop being sad over this, and I'm going to stop being afraid over what the devil's putting on me, that I'm finally going to say to myself, I'm coming out of this. Come hell or high water, I'm coming out of this. There's got to come something out of you that causes you to be greater is he that's in you than he that's out to kill you, destroy you, steal from you. When you hold on to what hinders you, you are giving more weight to the devil because you are limiting your form of movement. You are inhibiting free motion. You are losing your freedom. Paul and Silas were bound in jail once, but did he have to shake the jail for them to know that they were free? Did the walls have to come down for them to know their freedom? Did they have to see the first quaking of the ground before they knew in whom they believed? Friends, I don't know if you see the ground shaking when things are always going wrong around you, but there's got to come a moment where you know that you're free and you let go of the bondage of the devil, because if you don't, those spirits, those seducing spirits, those spirits of the lust of the flesh will come and consume you, and the things you never thought you'd give into, those will be the things that draw you away. God's not bringing anything on you more than you can bear. But the devil sure will, and he'll come tempting you with every form of ungodliness, every form of naughtiness and envyings and jealousies and strifes and every form of wickedness that you could even imagine. I'm not talking to people that don't understand. I'm telling you right now, friend, don't you blame me when you have a bad week because you're not willing to let go. Don't blame the singer that didn't get you stirred up enough to cause you not to let go. This is a personal relationship. This is a personal relationship. This is something that has got to be between you and God. You've got to decide that the way of God is greater than your own way. For when we realize that it's greater, we're more apt to turn loose of what is important. If you were hungry, would you let go of your food? Probably not. But let me ask you another question. If you were hungry and had food, but you saw someone else that was hungry, who would you feed? Who would be eating? If you saw somebody thirsty and you were the only one with water, would you give it to somebody? Don't you know, I feel this, that you have the meat of the word, truths that the world doesn't understand, a way of thinking they have not realized. But when they're hungry, what are you giving? When people need the Holy Ghost in their life to feel his presence, and we know him and can feel him, but when they're thirsty, what do we give? When our desire is for us greater than our desire for God, this world will starve. When our desire is greater than our desire to let go of the things that we hold dear, people are starving. My time is your time. What I'm doing is for you. My time is your time. I'm not here because I'm getting anything for me. I'm here because I see people that are hungry, and I'm not going to withhold what God has done for me. Church, do you have the rivers of living water inside of you? Have you ever, ever felt God just come on the scene and you get goosebumps? comes and you feel chills and you feel something that begins to bubble up inside of you, but yet it didn't come out because you quenched it. And God said, don't quench the spirit. Don't hold what I have given you, because you're not doing it for you. You're giving it to those that need it. When people ask for bread, are we going to be the ones that give them a stone? When we don't offer our best and our life, we give them the cold shoulder. When the world needs to see your freedom, we're feeding them bondage. When the world needs to see the ram, we're not willing to lay down what is dear. This is not a way that's for everyone. Disciples forsook Jesus. Peter even denied him in the hour. We oftentimes, without God being first, aren't what we should be to others. But when the Lord called me to preach for this church, I made a commitment that what I did from then on wouldn't be about me. That I would strive to keep my problems, that I would fight your battles and help you, that I trust in the Lord to fight mine. Sure, there's days when all hope seems to be far and distant from my eyes, but yet I still know in the darkness that he's coming. I still know that God is coming. Abraham said, my son, God himself will provide. He didn't know whether that was going to be his son or something else, but he was willing to lay it down to the will of the Father. If you're looking at somebody else and saying it's their fault that you aren't obeying the Lord, then you have made an excuse. If you're waiting on somebody to come and tell you to testify, you've made an excuse. If you're waiting and waiting and waiting as this idle time rolls on, your willingness to submit when it comes time to surrender diminishes. We become cold. Revelation talked about this kind of love fading away. And he wasn't talking about just the love of the lost. He was talking about the love of the church. For as our love and desire for the world increases, our desire and love for others decreases. And as we come in and make it just about us, then we fail the test of sacrifice. You read about it, that you are to present yourself a living sacrifice. That is our command, to present yourself giving all that you are. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down everything of himself for somebody else. When all that you're doing all week is to only take care of you, you need to ask yourself, God, is there something in me I'm not letting go of? If we are too busy to pray, too busy to sing at home, if we're too busy meditating on other things, then we need to pray that the things that are holding us from letting go, hear me tonight, that God change it. For when we don't let go, do you know what that represents? A lack of trust. If I only loved my wife and showed her my happy side, it would not be me showing that I truly love her. Because love is love in good and in bad. Until we learn to get to the victory, we'll never know what it feels like to enjoy life. This is a test that we all go through. When worship is difficult, listen to me. When worship is difficult, the church is not letting go into total surrender. You want to know if you're part of the bunch that doesn't yield? Your finger's going everywhere but here. Well, it was just too loud tonight. That brother just took way too long to preach. If he had sat down 15 minutes before that, we could have had a great altar call. Didn't he know I had to get to Charlie's to get my pizza? I already ordered it. It was already done. Now it's already cold. I could have been better if all the praise band would have showed up. If you're part of the bunch that is just asserting blame instead of surrendering in you, then you need to identify what's keeping you from the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year that you have freedom? Do you know that the presence of God was what saved you and has never left you? And every good thing that you were given was given to you even upon your birth. And the only reason that we miss it is that we don't realize that we already have it. My freedom tonight is not because he threw it in the air and I ran and caught it, but it's when I realized that I was free because he made me free. My happiness. Oh yeah, I'm going there. We're basing happiness now on number, on quantity. If I'm happy for 2 weeks and feeling good 2 weeks, then that is equating to happiness. But happiness isn't necessarily just because you feel good. I'm happy even when things are going wrong, because I know in whom I believe. I know that God himself will provide. When I sacrifice what is mine When I sacrifice what is mine, then he brings forth what is his. He already gave us a sacrifice that gives us the very access to the anointing of God, gives us access to the will of the Father. And if we only realize the sacrifice that he has made for us, then it shouldn't be anything to let go of it. It shouldn't be anything to forgive somebody. And when it becomes something that's difficult for you to change, that is what God wants from you. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You have people that's friendly to your face, and all the while you don't even know it, but they've already wrote bad about you on Facebook. You've got Captain Anonymous on topics throwing you under the bus. And then they log on to somebody else, and they're having a conversation with themselves. They done made themselves mad. People are living to see your misery. But don't you know it's not even them? It's the enemy that's coming after you. So I say again what I opened up with. Until we learn to understand the things that we are tested in, we will not get victory that is truly meant for us. Do you know that the ram was a prophetic representation of Jesus Christ? It was the foretelling of the Son of Man to come. And God, in his humor, even took the lamb, which was an abomination unto Egypt, and used it as the very symbolism that foretold of the Son to come. You read even as far back as when Enoch spoke, he said that there would come one that would come with 10,000s of angels. The lamb has been represented from the beginning all the way through to the end. But if you examine the temples that were placed in some of the areas of Israel in the beginning stages, you'll find that they had one side of the door that represented the markings of God, and they had another side that represented other gods. And that was the attempt to try and compromise with the world. But God didn't save you to be 50% delivered. He didn't save you to say amen today and bless out your neighbor tomorrow. He didn't deliver you to be free from drugs on Sunday and back on pills on Monday. He has not brought you this far for you to hold on to what you have been set free from. For he who sent the sacrifice has made a way for you to give a sacrifice. He who the Son has set free, they are free indeed. Your freedom can only be realized when you let go of what keeps you from being free. So when something gets hard, what do, Roston? Three words. Let it go. We let it go. If something is consuming your time and keeping you from your desire to pray, if looking at such and such at church is keeping you from being free in the Holy Ghost, close your eyes. Let it go. You can't sit around and wait for everybody to be pleased with what you're doing. You can't wait for the day when everybody stands up in unison and says, yes, we want you to testify right now. I'm not here tonight because somebody said, yes, we're all showing up because we all want you to preach. Don't you know that everything that you climb up in God, that just as many haters show up as those that love you, greater the persecution for those that will lay it down? But if you'll pay the price, he said that you'd have a crown of life. I am building up in my life the blessings of God that are a result of letting go of this flesh. Paul tried to get it like this. He said, I die daily. I let go of what tries to take me down daily. To yield spiritually is to die in your flesh. How many of you today prayed and felt the presence of the Lord? I don't want your hands, because we'd probably be embarrassed. Just ask yourself, did I pray today and feel the presence of God? If you didn't, then friend, what could have been a better day was not. We miss the ram all the time, the figurative ram. We miss what is in store because we will not let it go. John wasn't a big fan of the religious in that time, and he was yelling out to those who didn't understand and know God as well as those that did, and said, repent, hypocrites, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were a little more plain spoken then. If I got up here and said, repent, you hypocrite, I'd probably run some people off. But every time that you don't let go when the Spirit of God is moving, I don't have to say what you're doing. I don't have to say what the Bible calls that. When you know your liberty and do not take it, then what keeps you from freedom is what God wants you to sacrifice. You give that sacrifice by surrendering it to him. Don't you know that some of us need to surrender our feet so that we could... Come on, stand up. Somebody's going to surrender it right now. We're going to
Do some applied exercises. And then you'll ask yourself next time, do I really want to go hear that guy preach? Somebody look down at your feet and say, God, I yield to you my feet. Now start moving them. Just march in place. Glory to God. But brother, that's silly. But brother, that's too fanatical. That's too radical. That's crazy. Those people are crazy that say they need to move around to feel the presence of God. But some of you are already feeling it right now. Somebody look down again and say, God, I'll yield my feet so that I can leap for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to leap for joy in here. Come on, I'll join you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The enemy's underneath your feet anyway. You might as well let him know it. Glory to God.